I call this meeting of the House Finance to order, and let the record reflect that the time is currently 8:44 p.m. on Friday, May 11th, 2018. Present today, we have Representative Ortiz, Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Guerra, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Tilton, Representative Grin, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, and myself, Co-Chair Foster. And before we start, just a reminder, if folks could mute their cell phones. Today, we will be taking up amendments on SB 142, which is the capital budget, by Senate rules by request of the governor. The committee last heard this bill on the 9th of May, where the committee adopted the N version of the bill as its working draft, and we set an amendment deadline. Today, the committee will be taking up amendments on the capital budget, and it is my intent, if it is the will of the committee, to move this bill today. And so with that, before we start into the amendment process, do we have any questions? Representative Pruitt?
Real quick question, Mr. Chair. The only thing I just wanted to confirm is, because I was given a list of House Finance amendments that the majority was going to accept and minority that we will let pass. Has this been predetermined? Are we going through a process that is already been determined, and we're kind of going to waste our time and everyone else's? Because that was disturbing when someone handed this to me, that they had gotten this off of a copier here, and I hope that we're going to allow for the debate to happen here and determine whether or not this is good policy based on the debate and committee, not based on something that's been predetermined. So if this is something that's out there, I would like to hear that it's not, and that this was something that was handed to me in error. But if it is, obviously I'd like someone to speak to it, because that's concerning.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't have a copy of that list, and so I don't know if the members would like to share a copy of the list with other members here. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Kawasaki. I guess the answer to your question is we'll absolutely be having the debate here. Debate can certainly sway people's minds. And, I think all the groups have met to discuss things that they are interested in. But as I say, as we move forward here, we will be having this debate, and so folks are free to vote how they wish. And I guess with that, is there anything else, Representative Pruitt?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted confirmation that this was not something that the co-chairs have put out there, or this is something that has been predetermined. I would expect the amendment process to be the amendment process, and that members will have listen to the debate and allow the conversation to take place that's there. So I just wanted to hear that was not something that is kind of usurping process. So I appreciate that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions or comments? Seeing none, the first amendment is amendment number one, and that is Representative Guttenberg. Representative Guttenberg, would you move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number one.
Second. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number one is to the Interior Alaska Land Trust in the Gulfstream Valley Public Use Land Restoration. The Gulfstream Valley multi-use area across the Gulfstream Valley has been ongoing, I think it's since the mid-80s, and it's been an effort to make access for everything that's available. Snow machines use it, skiers use it, hunters use it, trappers use it, dog trails use it, but it is a conglomerate of checkerboard parcels. And at times there is restricted crossing because there's private property, but there are parcels for sale that will continue to make this area enhance this area for public use. And that's my hope and intent of this legislation.
Do we have any further discussion? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we had money, I would understand this. We used to all be able to take money back to our districts when the oil was higher so that we could help with things like this. But at this time, we just really don't have it, and I can't support it, although I do understand what it would be utilized for.
Do we have any further discussion on amendment number one? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
Yes.
The objection is maintained. If the secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Garrett.
Yes.
Representative Grant.
Yes.
Representative Gettenberg.
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt.
No.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Seaton.
Yes.
7 yeas, 4 nays.
And so on a vote of 7 yeas to 4 nays, amendment number 1 to CS for SB 142, capital budget, has been adopted. Next amendment is by Representative Tilton. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 2.
And is there any objection? We have an objection. Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What amendment number 2 would do is it would take the funding that has been put into the budget for community and neighborhood watch from DCCED to from being administered by DCCED and have it administered by the Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers. The Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers already administers grants. I have a copy of some of the grant applications that they administer here in front of me, and they have indicated that they would be willing to administer this Neighborhood Watch program through throughout the state. What better people to administer a program than the retired troopers who are already involved in our neighborhoods and communities and are aware of how to help people to combat crime in their communities.
Thank you. Do we have any questions on amendment number 2? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So a couple of things. Is the Neighborhood Watch a specific, as it's capitalized here, a specific organization, or is it generalized? And I mean, it's 1 through 40. There's a 75,000. It's not a lot of money to go across the state to support these efforts. So if you could just respond to that.
Representative Tilton.
Sure. Ms. Representative Guttenberg, through the chair, the $75,000 that is in this line item was meant to go through for Neighborhood Watch throughout the state. And the neighborhood community and Neighborhood Watch program is a program that has been happening in our state. I can't even tell you how long it's been in existence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any further questions? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to find, maybe I'm missing it on, in the end version, page 3, line 20. Is this, is inserting in there instead of changing the appropriation that's made to Neighborhood Watch?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, it would move it from page 18, lines 10 through 13, which would be administered through DCCED, to page 3, line 20. And I will get to you. Which would be grants to named recipients. And it'd be to the Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers for Community and Neighborhood Watch with the same dollar amount.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I object to moving this because I think that through DCE, Department of Commerce, we have accountability on the program. Private organization has a different kind of accountability, so I'm going to support leaving this appropriation with the Department of Commerce for grants administered on the basis that they've been administered across
Thank you. Any further discussion?
A question, Mr.
Representative Guerra, and then Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for the sponsor. I've always supported Neighborhood Watch. I've just not seen state money to fund it. It's normally something that I haven't seen state money to fund, so just I want to hear that in closing. Thanks.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in favor of the first part. I've been in contact with the Fraternal Order of the State Troopers as well and talking with the way that they would be able to distribute these. It is a statewide organization. There's a chapter in Fairbanks as well. I do not support the bottom half of the amendment, which, as the chair said, does leave a little bit of accountability when it comes to how these monies are distributed. I just wanted to put that on the record for Representative Tilton.
And are there any further questions before we do wrap up? Seeing none, Representative Tilton.
Representative Guerra, what was your question again? I'm sorry.
Through the chair. And maybe I've missed it. Neighborhood Watch has always seemed to be a volunteer program we've participated in. I've just never seen state funding for it.
Thank you. So, Representative Guerra, through the chair. Neighborhood Watch program has been a volunteer program that was administered through the Alaska State Troopers through a particular person who got support from the troopers in administering that program. That's no longer available. And with the increase in crime in all of our communities, there has been an outcry from the constituents to have some kind of increased patrol and Neighborhood Watch and ways to combat crime in our communities. The $75,000 was originally put in through the other body, and was put in as to be grants to named recipients through DCCED. What we're attempting to do here in the request is just to move it from being administered through DCCED through FOAST, who is the Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers. They are the retired troopers. They already do administer grants and are willing to administer some funding to help neighborhoods to get signage and get their Neighborhood Watch off the ground. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess with that, is your objection removed?
My objection is maintained.
I'm sorry. Okay, your objection is maintained. I am going to object. And so I think the issue of Representative Kawasaki, I just want to get more clarification. Were you saying that I didn't hear anything about not removing money? Any other way but keeping Representative Kawasaki?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just the way that this this amendment is drafted, I thought would come in a different form. I mean, I do support, for the record, the Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers, and again, we do have a chapter in Fairbanks. And they're a reliable 501c3. I do not support the bottom half of the amendment, which takes it out of the purview of the Department of Commerce, and so I just wanted to be on the record saying that for Representative Tilton, if she would like to make an amendment to the amendment.
And Representative Kawasaki, Representative Newman, who is also a big supporter of this, has spoken with me multiple times, and so that's why I was inquiring about maybe the possibility for this. Representative Wilson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer an amendment to amendment number 2, and that would be to delete lines 11 to 12. I don't think it matters whether or not it goes into the grants of the recipients or whether it's underneath commerce. I think what I'm understanding is more important to have the right organization being able to administer the grant so that it's utilized in the proper fashion. So if that would be as a friendly amendment to the...
be an amendment to the amendment. Representative...
Mr. Chair?
Representative Pruitt?
Just to make sure people are clear, that would actually double this.
Yes.
Because what it would do is you would leave the $75 million in Department of Commerce, or 75,000, Whew, man. And then you would add this $75,000. So it would actually double that amount. And right. I don't think that was the intent of the maker of the
No, it was not. Can I have an Eddie's?
Eddie's.
Yeah, that double.
And House Finance back on record at 4:07 p.m. And I believe we have one member missing. Is Representative Ortiz in the room?
Oh. Crowded room.
I could make an announcement to fill up time.
Please don't.
You don't like it.
Put people in this. Oh, I like it?
Yeah.
Okay, Representative Garrett's got something to say.
Okay, so we are on amendment number 2 in the capital budget here. And the last we left, Representative Wilson had a conceptual amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the best way to do this is if Representative Tilton would remove her. I'm going to remove my conceptual amendment, to amendment number 2, so that maybe amendment number 2 could be withdrawn and then we could have a conceptual amendment that will work.
Representative Tilton?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I withdraw amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 has been withdrawn, and in its place, would you like to introduce conceptual amendment number 2?
Yes, and in its place, we would like to move conceptual amendment number 2.
And is there an objection, Representative Tilton?
I know what it is. So amendment number 2, conceptual amendment number 2 would be to, on lines 10 through 13 on page 18, to change the name from Community and Neighborhood Watch Grants for Named Recipients to Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers, Inc., Community and Neighborhood Watch Grants.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Representative Kawasaki, did that meet the intent of what you're... Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, Representative Kawasaki. Do we have any other discussion, Representative Seaton?
So, Mr. Chair, this is District 1 through 40. So does that mean the Fraternal Order of State Troopers is now going to be administering the grants through all districts 1 through 40 on the state? Or is this going to be specific to... a couple of areas where the Fraternal Order of State Troopers has headquarters.
And Mr. Rob Carpenter, just in terms of proper form, would you mind coming up and we can... If you could put yourself on the record and just maybe address... Representative Seaton's question, would this conform, the language, would that conform to the intent? Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob Carpenter, Legislative Finance. Is your question that this would, by changing to the Fraternal Order of Alaska State Troopers, that it would apply to or be applied towards statewide grants, not just be?
My question is, basically, we know that the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development has criteria for issuing these grants statewide. We do not, I don't know whether the Fraternal Order has the same kind of criteria and does it statewide, or has headquarters in several communities and those are the only communities then that would receive this money. It says District 1 through 40, but I don't know if they administer grants in District 1 through 40 the way the department does. So basically, changing this language, might this drastically change the number and the amounts and the way the grants are administered?
Mr. Carpenter?
Through the chair, I can't necessarily speak to how the Fraternal Order would manage these, but the intent of the original appropriation was to allow all organizations within the state to apply for the grants, including municipalities and other possible nonprofits. So I believe from testimony I heard that the Fraternal Order would manage it that way, but I don't know that for a fact.
Representative Tilton, did you have any comments on that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Fraternal Order of the Alaska State Troopers does right now administer grants throughout the state. And so I believe that they would be able to administer this throughout the state.
Representative Seaton.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm just unsure whether the grant criteria that are used by the Department of Commerce will be the same criteria that are used by the Fraternal Order. So we're changing the complexity and the possible qualifications of different organizations and Neighborhood Watch and Community Watch programs, possibly by this amendment. So I'm just not willing to change the entire complexity of the grant program, possibly by adopting this amendment at this time.
We have any further discussion? Seeing none, we have an objection. Who is the objection from, Representative? Do you maintain your objection?
I object, so I will withdraw my objections.
The objection is, thank you. Thank you, Representative Wilson. The objection has been removed, and we do have a new objection from Representative Seaton. And with that, if the Secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Grant.
Yes.
Representative Gettberg.
No.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative
Guerra.
Pass. Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
8 yeas, 3 nays.
And so on a vote of 8 yeas to 3 nays, amendment number 2, which is N.1, has been adopted. Move over to amendment number 3. And Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 3.
Yes. And an objection, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The statement on this one is for berth 4 dock expansion, and my understanding is that the berths, the other berths in Ketchikan might be used for this, so this just changes it to berth expansion instead of a specific dock expansion.
Representative Wilson?
Yes, I'd like to offer conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 3 and to insert the numbers 1, 2, and 3.
I'll object.
We have an objection. Representative Wilson?
One way to make it my own amendment. Anyway, the reason for this is I did some research on this, and berth number 4 is actually privately owned, and so I don't know why we would be putting monies into a private owned berth. My understanding is 1, 2, and 3 are owned by the community, and I have no issues with state money going into those, especially if the information I read was correct. It's not just that the other is privately owned. They also charge the city of they charge the community so much per passenger that comes in as well, which seems a little strange when we're the ones who are giving them the money to become larger. So I don't want to start putting money into private hands so that they can make a profit versus helping out the municipalities.
We have any further discussion on amendment number 3? Conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 3. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This particular appropriation came from the other body, and the intent of the conceptual amendment speaks about docks 1, 2, and 3, and it's my understanding, after my discussions with the city manager, who will have control of these funds, that 3 is not even in the ballgame in terms of an expandable dock. So it's just it's a non-workable conceptual amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion, Representative Thompson?
1, 2, and 3.
4, 3.
I'd like to clarify a little bit what Representative Ortiz had to say there. It didn't make a lot of sense. If berth dock 4 is privately owned and we're going to be giving this to a company that is to work on something that's privately owned, where that the city of Ketchikan owns 1, 2, and 3. I got a little confused with what you were saying. We will be giving this money to a private company that owns number 4. Is that correct?
Representative Ortiz.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, The appropriation speaks, the amendment, the original amendment speaks to removing DOC for expansion and just talks about birth expansion. And it's under municipal grants as well. So the city manager will have control over these funds. And so I can't speak to where that money will go, but the city manager, we're removing birth four. The city manager has ultimate control over those resources under municipal grants. So I'm not privy to the inner workings of the negotiations that happen between as to how certain DOC expansions actually take place or don't take place. My original comments here today were just in relationship to the conceptual amendment, and I think that the original amendment speaks to the concerns of the author of the conceptual amendment.
Do we have any further discussion? Representative Wilson?
So it is workable with the conceptual amendment because they could spend on one, two, or three. If we leave, if with, without this amendment, this would allow those who have this grant to be able to allow it for birth four. And through an email here, I was able to verify that it looks like the company is owned in part by in several Ketchikan families, and it is done by the Ketchikan Dock Company, which is a private corporation. If we want to make sure that it goes to one, two, or three, all of which are owned by the city of Ketchikan versus a private company, then you have to include this amendment. Otherwise, there would be absolutely nothing stopping DCCED when a grant came through, and if they said they wanted to do on birth four, without this conceptual amendment, they would be allowed to, and they would be underneath the grant, and there would be no violation or anything because of that. And so, you know, I personally don't want to start going down a road where we are going to now not just put money into a private entity, but an entity then that goes back and charges money to the municipality when they utilize it and they got the expansion because of monies that we gave. So I thank the person who sent me the email so that, because I would not have known that otherwise, and there's some concern not just about being private, but there's others that have nothing to do with this. So my conceptual amendment just is making it to where it's going by those that are land that are owned by the municipality. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? Representative Ortiz?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to further elaborate on this particular amendment. However, the recent statement that, quote, the funds that we gave is not actually accurate. That implies that these are coming out of general funds, and these are cruise ship passenger vessel funds. So thank you.
Yeah, I will correct myself. Funds that have been designated to help a private owner get more profitable. Sorry.
So with that, any further discussion? Representative Guerra.
One question for the member from Ketchikan. When you said cruise ship vessel funds, are those head tax funds? Or are the,
yes.
So those are the funds that have to be used for port
yes.
projects?
Yes.
Okay. With that, is the objection maintained to amendment number one to amendment number three?
Yes.
Objection is maintained. If the secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Gattenberg.
No.
Representative Kawasaki.
Pass.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
No.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Five yeas, six nays.
And so on a vote of five yeas to six nays, amendment number one to amendment number three has failed to be adopted. That brings us back to amendment number three. And discussion? Representative Wilson.
Well, I'm just going to put it on there. I don't care if it's cruise ship funds or if it's general funds. It is still money coming through the state, and if we want to start a precedence here, and I'm sure there's a lot of private companies out there who might want to start looking to invest to be able to come back here and get funds to then be able to compete with our municipalities, and that's where my concern is more than anything else, is that with the way the amendment is right now, it really doesn't change
what can happen. But what it will do is put Ketchikan itself at a disadvantage because now they will pay more fees because the cruise ship funds were used for private entities instead of, I'm sure that they probably also have work that could have been done in 1, 2, or 3 of some type. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on amendment number 3? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
Yes.
The objection is maintained. If the secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Kawasaki.
Yes.
Representative Cortez.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Garrett.
Yes.
Representative Grimm.
Yes.
Representative Cuthbert.
Yes.
Representative Seaton.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes. And so on a vote of 9 yeas to 2 nays, amendment number 3 is passed. So with that, let's move over to amendment number 4, Representative Wilson.
I won't be offering number 4 since I found out it's okay to give to private business government money. Thank you.
And amendment number 4 has been withdrawn, so that brings us over to amendment number 5, Representative Grin.
Thank you. I move amendment number 5.
Object.
We have an objection. Representative Grin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So amendment number 5 has two amounts that we'll be discussing. One is for $20 million to the Port of Alaska, and one is for $1.6 million for the support of and design of the Arctic Deep Draft Port in Nome. To start with the Port of Alaska, the Port of Alaska, what this $20 million will be doing is, it's not expansion, but it's reconstruction of the aging infrastructure surrounding the port. Phase one of the reconstruction project is beginning later this year. If you've done a tour of the port or been down there and seen what's happening, it's quite remarkable that it still operates and functions as it does in such a great manner, with the docks aging pilings that have lost 3/4 of the original thickness. We've been told, working with them, that their load capacity is expected to cause the reduced load capacity is expected to cause existing docks to close within 10 years, regardless of the repairs. So, what this this phase one of the project, how it helps this critical infrastructure is, again, it's reconstruction. It's not an expansion. The Port of Alaska delivers goods 3.5 million tons of food, materials, etc., and impacts 85% of all Alaskans. This funding will be matched with the municipality providing the other necessary fundings to complete phase one, and I believe that this asset is vital to our economy, such as our airports. The Port of Alaska is just vital to many different things. So I think that it's important that we help with that reconstruction. The Port of Nome, you can see in the amendment some of the details, but the design of the deep draft port there is also starting here in the next few years, and I think the design for that would be as important, and maybe there's another member who can speak to the importance as well, but I would urge support for amendment number 5. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have discussion? Representative Wilson.
I have some questions for the maker of this amendment. Do you know how many grants or bonds have been issued through the state of Alaska for the Port of Anchorage? And I can't quite recall the issues of some construction that was done, and it's been a few years now. I can't remember if that was state funding that was utilized, but I think it was a contractor issue, and pilings or something weren't put in correctly. Is that where some of this money is going, is to correct that?
Representative Wilson, it's the Port of Alaska.
In Anchorage. Not North Pole.
No, there was an expansion project, in the last 10 years that has had obviously some faulty design based on the environment surrounding the waters. And I think there was state funds. I'm not privy to all the details of the amounts. I don't have that information.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As an Anchorage person, as you know, I call this the Port of Anchorage because it does not serve every community in Alaska, but it's a project that's important. Historically, I questioned years ago when this project ballooned up to $1.2 billion, but it's now been scaled back substantially to an affordable amount. So before I answer the questions as well as I can, these funds are needed because the docks at this port are starting to crumble, and that port will not exist in the form that we know it in 10 years if we don't start constructing new dock space. So in terms of prior funds, there have been prior state grants of $10 and $20 million. Back when I thought they didn't have a plan, they do have a plan now, and it's a scaled-back plan. In terms of bonds, I don't know if the state has bonded. I know that the port issues revenue bonds, but they only have a certain capacity, a limited capacity, to issue revenue bonds at the port. And I can't give you the exact numbers, so you'd be right to say that I can't.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
So with the fee structure that we had heard from, I don't know whether it was the director or whoever called in the other day, and as he spoke and talked about how the fees and other maybe leases that he was talking about would have to pay this. So throughout the years, how much money have they set aside to take care of these types of needs?
And Representative Wilson, I don't have the information. I talking with the director, you know, as this project moves forward, they will need to raise this money somehow. I mean, and so this, our investment here helps offset any tariff increases or anything that and shipping fee increases that might happen because of those. I think this is the state's investment into helping offset those tariffs that do, in fact, impact all Alaskans.
And a follow-up?
Follow-up.
And I do understand that it does, you know, help out. Obviously, it does. But as we're talking about a plan, I haven't seen a plan. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not out there, but I haven't seen one. So I'm just trying to figure out, so, you know, if it gets back to a certain spot, you know, how do we not end up here again? Because, so much of the tariffs and fees should be set aside, knowing that with anything it's going to age, whether it's your roads or ports, you know, or whether or not, you know, again, they'll be back here at the state because things are crumbling and that money wasn't put away. So I didn't know if that was part of the plan, and that's what I was trying to kind of get to. So I'm just trying to understand better, you know, how maybe we could have prevented from being here in the first place. Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Thanks, Chair. The port does have a plan. I wish I had it in my packet, but this is a tiny portion of what this port is going to cost to make sure that it is maintained so the docks that are degrading don't end up in the inlet. They're being eroded. The pilings are being eroded. It's frankly roughly over a $350 million project, plus settlement money that the state I believe is getting back from the faulty construction in the past. But it is no longer the sort of what I considered crazy $1.2 billion project, and $20 million goes towards helping a port project that otherwise will pay for in a different way, which is higher housing construction costs, higher milk costs, higher grocery costs, because those costs will just be passed on if the port is required to charge additional fees. You either make consumers and residents pay, or we can put $20 million into the budget.
Representative Wilson.
But there will have to be additional fees because at some point you're going to, this only band-aids to get closer to the $1.6 million, even if it's, because the amount of the project's $1.6 million. We're only giving $20 million, but the project's still $1.6 million, I'm assuming. Oh, wait, that is making sense. Sorry about that. No, I'm sorry. That was a little backwards. Sorry about that. But $20 million, so I guess the bigger question I have is, what is the cost of this project? Because I was probably looking at the thinking it was $1.6 billion, not million. So my apologies between a B and an M.
That would be a heck of a port.
Then I'm an O. But.
Yeah. So so what is the cost of this that we've been talking about, the cost of it? Is it $1.2 billion, as we heard from Representative Guerra, or what is the total cost of the project?
Representative Gren.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Representative Wilson, phase one is about $80 million. The entire project, the reconstruction that they have, is somewhere, they say, about $700 million. Starting this summer, 2018, expected to last through the next 7 to 8 years. Funding sources, it is a combination of port revenues, obviously, hopefully state funds. It's also federal funds. private funds, and then as Representative Guerra mentioned, they are using litigation proceeds as well through the from that expansion project from several years ago. So.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions? Seeing none, is the objection maintained?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
The objection is maintained. If the Secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Tilton.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Gren.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Kawasaki.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative.
Yes.
Seven yeas, four nays.
And so on a vote of seven yeas to four nays, Amendment number 5 to SB 142 has been adopted. Moving on to the next amendment, Amendment number 6, Representative Wilson.
I move Amendment number 6.
Objection.
We have an objection. Representative Wilson.
I'll keep this short. We kind of had this talk already about it, just moving this particular $5 million from UGF to GG, designated general funds. But it does two things. It changes policy that we heard from DEC, and that policy was that they were to find a safe and affordable way of being able to take care of the contamination, which they did. Part of the community thinks it's okay. Part of the community is fine with it staying there. What I've learned since the last meeting that we have is that if it's going to go and be shipped off somewhere, which I don't think they know exactly where that's going to be at this point, they're going to have to drive these trucks through town to do that, and there's a lot of concern in the community that they would have to drive the contaminated soil through town where you have tourists, because it sounds like it might happen this summer, as well as children and others who would be just doing their normal activity, whether that's in a park on this. With these funds deleted, it would not stop the project. The project could still go forward. What would the difference would be is if they the community chose not to have it in the safe site that DEC picked out, then the community would have to pay for it. Otherwise, if it stayed on site that had been picked down, then they would not have to pay for it because these funds would be able to be utilized for that. My other last concern is I heard from the contractor who actually got the rock and did his part he was supposed to because he thought it was going to happen. And my concern, I just want to at least put on record, is that it sounds like he may now be out the money because of the plans that are changing. And if you make a contract, you really should uphold to it. But I'm not sure where in that process it was. But it had gone to that point to where they were getting everything ready for this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any Representative Ortiz?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we can remember back to the testimony from DEC, they described the contamination of lead contamination, et cetera, as some of the worst that they've ever seen. And then if you can think about whether or not, you know, Chena Lakes in the Fairbanks North Pole area, or whether or not Sand Lake in Anchorage, or over here at Auk Lake here in Juneau, whether the residents there would, how they would feel about a disposal site being put right in a main recreation area like those lakes that I just spoke of. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a site that is above a main recreation lake, the main recreation lake area for the community of Wrangell, and we're talking about a site that is been important to the traditional uses of the tribe there in Wrangell, and so you know it's clearly understandable why there's so much concern about this particular site here in Wrangell. I've been to the site where they proposed to move it, and it does sit right above the lake. And there's drainage, ditch drainage, in the immediate proximity of the site itself. And there's just concern about that. And I have a letter from the Wrangell Assembly that says clearly they prefer to have that those lead contaminants moved off the site of the island. Plus, I've had the majority, vast majority of comments from the community of Wrangell in support of complete removal of the contaminants from the island. The previous speaker was correct that there has been some comments, particularly from the particular contractor who stood to benefit from moving it to its original proposed site. But after speaking to DEC, it's my understanding that that same contractor will be a part of the activities removing it to removing it to the ports so that they can be shipped off the island. And so he will not be completely out of the resources that he would have gained had he been, you know, been originally contracted with to move the material to the site above the lake. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm opposed to this particular amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. Just observation. Just because you delete the money, you don't move the responsibility from DEC to the local community. The local community has, in the interaction between the project and DEC, there might be a, using the quarry might be an easier step, but it's about the possible. The community has spoken, like many of our communities that say what they want to do. They feel it's not appropriate. You eliminate the money. You don't eliminate DEC's responsibility for it. You're not transferring the responsibility to the borough or the community, Ketchikan. So I'm going to oppose the amendment.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Wilson and Mangera?
Right. And on that point, by deleting this out of there does not take it out of DEC's hands. What this does is that this says we're not going to start a policy using these funds to now say if a community or someone is not happy with DEC's decision and they want to go a more expensive route, that we're going to force them to use contaminant site money to do that with. So by deleting that, all it says is that we're back to step number one, is that DEC says that they have found a safe, and I guess it's a question whether or not you believe them or not. They were, you know, they talked about the site and exactly all the things that they had to go through to make sure that it was safe. If they were to use the site, they would be able to use the cleanup money to be able to do that. What this amendment does is say, I don't think this is a policy we should be setting, because once we set it, the next community and the next one after that will be able to make their own choices, and it's going to be very hard for DEC to say, well, we're not going to we can't take number two because we're required to take number one, because this will break it. This will break it and say they don't. Now it doesn't matter what the cost is or the safety is, because we've now decided that how the community feels and what their concerns are to move it, even if it's not true and that safety and that site is safe, will mean more than following policy as it's been set thus far.
Representative Kerr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This could have very easily been written as something that wouldn't be an appropriation, that wouldn't show as a budget item. And we have a hazardous waste fund. It's funded by a roughly 7 cent per barrel charge on crude oil, and 1 cent of the state's fuel tax goes into the hazardous waste and response fund. This is hazardous waste of the worst kind. One way to fund it would have been to just give the department the intent that we give them the okay to use the money from this fund, and it wouldn't have even shown up in this budget as an appropriation. I think the chairs were more honest about it and said, we're going to use the fund. We're just saying, go use the fund, but they put it in as an appropriation item. But it's money that's not used for schools, money that's not used for public safety. It's a hazardous waste fund that's always been used for hazardous waste. You can call it an appropriation. You can call it not an appropriation. It's coming out of the hazardous waste fund, and I think this is honest budgeting, and it very easily could have not been an appropriation item because it could have just automatically come out of the fund.
Do we have any further discussion? Representative Wilson?
$8 million already came out of the fund without an appropriation, so let's I'm just going to go back from the beginning. So $8 million without our okay, which it should have, was used for cleanup. And absolutely, that's why it's there. Doesn't matter how bad it was. It met the criteria, and $8 million was there. If DEC was allowed to do their job, it still wouldn't be before us, because DEC went to the site, monitored, helped the cleanup, sprayed it with material so the lead can't get out, made it safe. And the next step that they did was they found a site, because if they couldn't have found a safe site, then odds are they would have probably been able to use the money to take it off the island, because that's the process. But they did find a safe site to put it on. And if that site was able to be utilized, then again, they would not need to come back to us, because they had $14 million that they were able to utilize for this project. Just want to make it clear, the reason this project's in front of us now is because we're going to tell DEC and we're going to set precedents to say that we're not going to go with your more affordable, safe alternative. We're going to override that, and we're going to say we want you to take it to the more expensive part and take it off the island at, I'm not sure where the $5 million comes from, because the backup material didn't seem like they knew where they were going to send it. And we're going to drive these contaminated trucks through town to put them on a barge and send them somewhere. So it's not really about truth in budgeting or any of the rest. This is really about changing the policy. And the way to change the policy is that we're going to put it in the budget with the, but I guess, you know, the department, they might choose not to do it, with the intent of barging it off. And that's where my concern is. I want it cleaned up. I have no problem with the money being spent to clean it up, to put it where DEC said. Where I have a problem is now we're setting precedents that we're going to tell DEC that what they did and all the site stuff that they did wasn't good enough. We're going to do something else with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? Seeing no discussion, is the objection maintained?
Yes.
And with that, if the secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
No.
Representative Friend.
No.
Representative Gettenberg.
No.
Representative Kawasaki.
No.
Representative Cortez.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Four yeas, seven
nays. So on a vote of four yeas to seven nays, amendment number seven is failed to be adopted. I would like to recognize that we're joined by a few representatives in the room here, Representative Stutes, Representative Knopp, Representative Zolkowski. Thanks for being here. Also, just so folks know where we are, we do have 29 amendments before us. We just finished amendment number seven and amendment number
six.
We finished amendment number six, and so we will go to amendment number seven. Representative Wilson.
I move amendment number seven, but maybe you know something I don't know.
Check.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you. What amendment number seven does, it just puts the figures, takes the $6 million back out that was added. It would still leave $35,898,000 for first-time service projects for village-safe water and water wastewater infrastructure projects, and it would still leave $28,932,000 for the expansion, upgrade, and replacement of existing services. It's just at a time when we don't have a lot of money. To me, these two amounts are still a pretty large amount to be able to keep the projects going forward for the next year or two, most likely.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. And that's to delete the full six, that's correct? Is that, or was that to delete half of the amount, or to delete the full six?
Mr. Chairman, it does a full six, but does $3 million to each one of those.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And any discussion? I would like to say, as we look at life safety health issues in the state of Alaska, in my opinion, if there is ever a health issue, it's this one, having honey buckets in our villages. You know, we think of ourselves as a great nation and conditions where folks have to use a bucket to go to the bathroom. We think that that only exists in third world nations. Many of my communities have honey buckets, and you see kids that get sick, they can't make it to school. This is an issue that I've been passionate about, and so I will be voting to support and maintaining the funding that's been added. Is there any further discussion, Representative Wilson? Wrap up.
I agree. It's a cause, and it's nothing against the cause. I just don't see us spending $64 million, which is what's still left there, in a year. I know most of these projects can be multi-year, but as we have less money today, it doesn't mean that $6 million can't be added next year if they've spent the 64. So I just don't think they'll spend all this money in 1 year, so it keeps the project going in the program. And as we see oil come back, those funds could then be there. So I don't think this will impact this next year, most likely not even the next couple years, because, again, we're still leaving $64 million for this appropriation. Thank you.
Is there an objection, or did I object?
I think you objected. You can keep it if you want.
Okay. I objected.
So the objection is maintained. Thank you, Representative Guerra. With that, if the Secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Guerra.
No.
Representative Grant.
No.
Representative Gutford.
No.
Representative Kawasaki.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Four yeas.
On a vote of four yeas to seven nays, amendment number seven has failed to be adopted. Representative Wilson, amendment number eight.
I move amendment number eight.
Object.
We have an objection. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I had a meeting with the commissioner a few weeks ago about this $9.1 million project. This would be, I guess we're going to call it phase one of $3.5 million. Right now we have Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Matsu, and Kenai all have 911 areas that have people from the state police. Fairbanks and Ketchikan, from my understanding, are actually ran by AST, so we're not really talking about those two entities. But what it is right now is there's a $3 million contract with Matsu and Kenai that ultimately would go away with this 911 portion of it. I received a lot of information from Kenai, and I want to say thank you to those who gave it to me. And their concern really is about whether or not having it centralized is going to really make it to where one entity could take care of the whole state. And here's how they explained it to me, is that you have a point source. And so when you call, and if you call in Fairbanks, it's going to go to the Fairbanks 911, because you don't know what kind of an emergency it is. You don't know whether it's police or it's medical, and whoever answers the phone then is going to determine who it is. And then they would call the state police or whoever it is. Same thing if it happened in Kenai. Somebody calls the Kenai 911. Kenai will get it. And then if this goes through, from my understanding on this 911, they're still going to have their facility in Kenai, because they have local emergency. And state police doesn't call out the fire stations or the ambulances. The local government entities do that. So basically, they'll have less people to be able to work if this whole plan goes through. Yet they'll still get the call. They'll just transfer, if it's an AST call, to the new one in Anchorage, if this goes through with this, at a cost where we will save $300 million. That will be in there. But we will have an overall $500,000 cost per year for the number of people that the state will have to do when we have two entities that are currently working. And this will give them more things to do with less people, because you don't get rid of the middleman. There's no way that I can be in Kenai and call 911 and it's going to automatically go to Anchorage, or be in Matsu and it's going to go to Anchorage. It's going to go to whatever the 911 source is, and then there's going to have to be a transfer. I just think it needs to be more vetted. I want to make sure that those throughout Alaska get the best service that they can. But if all we're going to do is still have a middleman that goes with it, and our areas are going to really have less assistance, I don't think that was ever the intent of the program.
Brief at ease. County Record at 4:52 p.m. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last amendment was about trying to put the honey bucket in the Museum of History. It's 2018, and this state, number one, still has communities that have honey buckets, but number two has a large part of the state where you cannot call 911 if you have an emergency. And that's what this amendment, that's what the 911 program is about. So, Mr. Chair, these funds are going to go to, as the maker of the amendment says, there's going to be a way that this is going to be done, but the intent is to expand 911 to communities where you do not have 911 services. And I have the luxury of being in a community where you have them, but I think that's not a luxury and should be extended to all members of the state.
Thank you. Representative Kawasaki, did you have a comment?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we took a look at this at the sort of the tail end of our budgeting process in the House Finance Budget Subcommittee for Public Safety. You know, what was really alarming is that geographically in the state of Alaska, 92% of the state is not covered specifically by a 911 person. Oftentimes, we heard in testimony, is that if you live in one village, you may have to call an 800 number. That 800 number gets routed if you're not in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, Matsu, or Ketchikan. It goes loops back and forth until it finally finds the right caller. I hope people understand, you know, how difficult 911 is. One of those things that you teach a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old so that they know how to call for help. An 800 number, heck, with cell phones these days, I can't remember what most of my friends' phone numbers are. And I think that this underscores the idea that there are a lot of places that just don't that aren't being covered. Currently, we're the only state, or one of just three states, that doesn't have a statewide 911 system. That's what this enhanced 911 budget is all about. They originally did ask for $9.5 million in total. We see it fit that they should start to get that direction with a statewide 911 program. But at this time, you know, it's hard. We think that they can build out one at a time. Right now, one in four Alaskans lacks conventional 911 services. And if you think it's just about rural Alaska, there are places that are as far away from Anchorage as Eagle River that actually do not have the conventional 911 service and do get bounced around as well. So, Mr. Speaker, this addresses a very necessary and critical public safety need, not just in rural Alaska and remote Alaska, but even within the road system. And so cutting this now is really saying that we're not going to go that direction. I think it's a cut in the wrong direction. I think if we want folks to feel safe in their homes, safe in their villages, safe in their schools, that having access to 911 is one of those very important services. And just one other thing, it is about consolidation. It is about centralizing 911 services and making them more less expensive for municipalities even. Fairbanks has undergone, we built a fairly large 911 system when we built a new facility when Representative Thompson was mayor. And the city of North Pole now utilizes that. Some other area-wide public safety groups also utilize that. I think the University of Alaska Fairbanks Police Department is now utilizing that. And so really consolidation is the way to go when it comes to budget, you know, these tough budget times. So I would ask for members to vote against Amendment Number 8. Thank you.
Do you have any further discussion on Amendment Number 8? Seeing Representative Pruitt and then Wilson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this amendment actually, I'm kind of torn. And I'm torn for two reasons. One is there's, you know, this even today, this budget has grown. And I'm very concerned about that. But I also know what it's like to roll out of an airplane and have no idea what in the world's happening next. No one knew where we were. And I can only imagine what happens if someone's sitting there in the same place and you can't get a hold of anyone and no one knows that you're in that position. I just don't want anyone else to go through that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wilson.
So in wrap-up, Representative Pruitt, they'll find you because of the programming they have, not because it's located in Anchorage. And that is what I understood, is that with the four places, by upgrading the program and the technology is what's going to allow us to be able to locate, because it's about being able to get out and find out how you triangular those positions of it. That's what makes the difference, not whether I have the facility in Anchorage and I close down Matsu and Kenai. In fact, I think that's going to make it less safe, because what you're going to do to the two local municipalities right now who are getting a contract is they're going to have to then take on more costs, because now instead of combining and having exactly what we just talked about and having a combined system there where you have the state and the municipality together, all those same calls are going to come into those two communities. If it was about consolidating, they would close Ketchikan and Fairbanks too and put it all in one place. But that's not what it's about. They really need, if they were going to spend this money on actually doing the next upgrade so that all four places had the next upgrade, so they would be able to talk about cell phones and not landlines, I'd be all in favor of it. But this is to renovate a place in Anchorage to start putting the lines in versus putting in the computer program, in which we just heard from Representative Pruitt that's necessary so we would know where someone was if they're on a snow machine somewhere and they get lost or if there's a crash somewhere. It's in the programming. It's not in where the program's located at. And that's really what we need to be spending our money on, is making sure we have the newest and best technology, not that it's located, you know, in a specific spot. And the other thing you have by having all four places is that you have, in case one goes down, you have those other access points that you're able to do. So this is about just moving portions of it. It's not about consolidating, and it's not about upgrading into the programming. That is really what is necessary to be able to go, so that if someone is lost and we need to really be able to figure out where they are, it's in the program that's used, and that's what we're missing right now. You don't get it through here by renovating other places in the state and then calling it consolidation. Thank you.
Okay, that was wrap-up. So with that, is the objection maintained?
Yes, it is.
The objection is maintained, and so if the Secretary could please call the roll.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Garrett.
No.
Representative Friend.
No.
Representative Gutberg.
No.
Representative Kausaki.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Thompson?
Yes.
Representative Seaton?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
3 yeas, 8 nays.
So on a vote of 3 yeas to 8 nays, amendment number 8 has failed to be adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Wilson?
We have 2-minute eddies.
Actually, I was going to say we've been going for 2 hours now, so let's take a 10-minute at ease and allow people to use the bathroom. So we will be at ease.
Thank you.